And I hope you can feel it too. I want to welcome everyone to the episode tonight. This is episode 4883. Usually I don't mention that. Actually, we're about 800 shy, 900 shy of that, in that number. But it's very interesting that we have survived. I've survived this long on this show, but I want to thank you on this Tuesday, May 13th, 2025, for joining me. I want to thank all of the people who are with me in the Rumble chat. And I want to say this about Rumble as a platform. You know, I still get emails saying I can't stand the ads. Screw it. I get that. I get it. We don't put them there. Rumble does. We don't make a dime. I don't think we make any money on them. If we do, it's minimal. But to avoid that thing, use an ad blocker. Use a Brave browser with an ad blocker, and I guarantee you, your listening and your viewing experience, especially see my shining beautiful face, will be much better. Okay, all right. I named this episode, titled this episode. Notice I didn't say this episode is entitled, because none of these shows are entitled, and I don't like that when people say, yeah, the book is entitled. No, it is titled. It's just a little pet peeve I have. Is that really like I mean, is that a problem? I just have that. But anyway, I titled this episode The Iger Sanction Redux. Clinton, Obama, Brennan, and others. Homicide, life, and murder in the D.C. swamp. Now, the first part of that is the 1975 movie, The Iger Sanction, starring Clint Eastwood. And the second part of that is Homicide, Life on the Streets, but this is Homicide, essentially Life in the Swamp. But here, as an extension from yesterday, I want to get into some very specific information, and I want to be very direct about it, but I want to ask you a question in the chat. Let me get there. I want to ask the chatsters. I don't know. Is that okay? I mean, chatsters? The members in the chat. So, beautiful people in the chat. I'm going to ask you this. Did you see the news that came out today about James O'Keefe Media Group and the inside of Epstein's Island mansion? Did you happen to see that? Now, let me ask a question. Does yesterday's program, the timing, does it make sense? Okay. In the chat, okay, I'm just asking if you saw the headline. I don't care if you watch the video or watch anything about that. Here's the deal, and Eric the Tech knows this. In fact, Eric the Tech knows a heck of a lot more than he'll ever say. Until I die, then the tell-all comes out, and my reputation will be in shambles.
And I'm rich.
And you're rich. No, he's such a great guy. As a matter of fact, he had an excellent opportunity to Epstein me today, but he didn't. He slithered into my home, if you can believe that.
I thought you were dead.
Yeah, to check my pulse. Last night, let me just share this with you. Yeah, Did you ever wait? Okay. Did you ever maybe take a nap during the day? Or maybe you do shift work and you sleep during the day or whatever, or even at night. And you know, when you wake up, that somebody was in your home. And I'm not talking about seeing, you know, footprints or something moved or a note written. You just have that feeling like, man, somebody was in here. Man. So Eric the Tech leaves this strong vibe behind us. This strong, I was here vibe. Did you know that, Eric? I felt your energy. I don't think that's esoteric, or, you know.
The man musk.
The man musk. Your pheromones. I woke up. No, never mind. Yeah, so I was out cold, and they had to check to see if I was still breathing, which is something people do when I reach, you know, people we get our age, you know, you don't know. You know, sometimes you have to go over and kick the person or, you know, take the arm and... All right. You had your chance, Eric the Tech, but you didn't take it. So, but that kind of plays into what I want to talk to you about.
I hit you a couple times.
Did you?
Yeah, with that mini bat.
You want me to show you? I can't because I'm... I'll show you the bruises that people can't see, except, you know, for me when I take a shower and stuff. And you know, I'll call my wife and say, look at the bruises. Eric beats me. Then no one will believe me. But anyway, folks, for those who don't know, just so it doesn't sound weird, he's my son-in-law. Okay. Just clearing that up.
The pillow on your face didn't leave any marks.
The Scalia treatment. Oh, did I say that? Okay. Ever since, here's something I want to tell people. Ever since the New York Post article came out, I have been getting information from corners of the world, from sources, from people. I mean, I never thought I would ever talk to. Now, I don't know if it was because of that article or because of the final, or the, not final, but the interim work product submitted to my client, that these sources have come out. But with those sources, let me just say this. There's an equal and opposite pushback. The censorship is increasing. The people who are being vocal about our efforts in whatever subject that we take, they're becoming more difficult to handle. Sanji, I just want to thank you for your wonderful email, which relates to what I'm talking about, because I experienced this back in the, you know, nothing this bad. Well, I experienced this pushback in an investigation I was doing in 87-88. I'm not going to get into it. It is outlined in my forthcoming book. Detailed, explained, where you start pushing. When you start pushing, and folks, it doesn't matter if you've got 5 followers or 500 or 5,000 or 50 or whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you've got, what, 20 friends on Facebook. They won't let me on Facebook. I can't even look at the ads on Facebook, or the what do they call them? Like classifieds? I can't even, I can't. I'm on there. If I use a VPN, I'm on there for about, I don't know, maybe 4 minutes and zap, I'm gone. Yeah, I'm just saying. Anyway, not that I want to be on there anyway. But here's, again, here's the thing. You listening and watching this, if you are watching this, whether it be on X Live right now or whether, whatever platform, or if you're listening to this the day after, or in the middle of the night, you're part of the army. You're part of an army that was born for this time. And I want to make sure you are uplifted. I want to make sure that you know that I've got your back. I want to make sure you know that on this platform, there is no drama. There will, we don't have time for drama. I'm going to show you some things today. The show notes. You can go to the show notes at HagmanPI.com after the show is up. You know, one of the videos I'm going to show you is a former FBI agent. Y'all know who he is. Okay. Man, you talk about friggin' drama. Okay. He was featured on Dan Bongino, and then he fell out of favor, and then they had the public spat, and then, oh, for crying out loud, would you get everyone grow up? But see, that's the thing. You don't have to be a cheerleader for MAGA. You don't have to be a cheerleader. There's only one loyalty here. Well, there's more than one. I guess in descending order, your loyalty is to the God, to God in heaven, right? And of course, Jesus Christ, his son. And then you've got to respect yourself. And in so doing, be loyal to yourself. I had to throw that in there because a lot of people don't talk about that. And then your family. And then your country. Right? And if you want to reorder that a tad, with the exception of the top, it's up to you. But when drama, when egos, when things get in the way, I don't like it. Do you? I don't like it. And it seems like we have a bunch in the alternative media. And yes, and folks, there are some people watching right now, or kind of watching. They have on in the background. Right, Jay? Hmm? Yeah, I'm talking about you, and I'm talking to you. Stop it. Stop the egotistical, I'm all of that. No, you're not. In the eyes of God, we're all the same. We're all sinners. You want to seek the truth? Seek the truth. But be humble about it. Don't tear down others. Don't. And that goes for you. It goes for everybody. It goes for me. When I get up in the morning, I have to look at myself in the mirror. And that's a difficult. Let me tell you, that's not a pleasant sight. Ask Eric. He saw me lying in repose today. You have to look at yourself in the mirror. And you have to be true to yourself. I'm amazed at the people that I know. You know, we have our supporters meeting. And this all goes into tonight's topic. So don't think I'm straying off and, you know, I'm trying to catch these random thoughts and then put them together. No, this all ties together. I was thinking today, My wife had some surgical procedure done very early this morning. So last night after the show, I was pretty pumped up, and I stayed up all night, and I had some issues. But anyway, I took her, and she's fine. It was just minor. But anyway, I fell asleep, and then that's when Eric came to my house and tickled me under the chin. But I was thinking, after her minor surgery, and then after last month, and then thinking back over the last several years, I was thinking, wow, you know, just the enormity of a cascade of events in our lives. But then I stopped, and I thought, you know, the people that I know, the supporters that I know, man, you guys have been through hell and back. Many of you. You think you're the only one, right? You're not. I'm not. You think, oh, woe is me. Until you look at somebody and they tell you their story. And you realize, wow, they've been through hell. Ladies forever. Yep, still unemployed. Yeah. Red River, you know, thank you. We all understand your pain. No, it's not my pain. I have the utmost respect of people out there, you folks, who are just have gone through so much in your lives. I have so much respect for you. Again, we're all in this together. And then when I was thinking about that, I was thinking as well, you know, is it futile to sit here and talk about these things? Does anyone really care? You care. Better asked is, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about a Department of Justice or an FBI or a school board or the town's mayor who's on the take and you can't take it to the DA? The police won't listen. What are you going to do? You're going to pick up arms and go down to City Hall? Or are we just going to yip and yap about it? I'm not advocating either one of those options. However, I would gravitate toward the musket style approach than the yipping and yapping. Prayer. Prayer for guidance. Prayer to guide your steps. And I'm not a preacher. I'm not even a good Christian. And I get it, okay? Don't say, well, no one really is. We're all saying, yeah, I get that. But I suck at a higher level of suck. Well, you'll read about it in Eric's tell-all. But the people that we're going to talk about right now, you can't buy your way out of, you can't buy your way into heaven. You can't buy your way out of hell. And you cannot, and trust me when I say this, you cannot hide your sins when we, as a collective army, are coming after and exposing you. That's one thing we can do. Exposing your evil deeds fearlessly. To hell with the threats of lawsuits. To hell with the threats of the criminal charges. where none are warranted. To hell with the marginalizations. To hell with losing followers, supporters, or whatever. I don't give a damn. And not that you asked for it. I don't think you should either. I'm going to start this off with something that again, you might say, what the? You didn't even mention that in this monologue of sorts. No, you're right. Come here, Maxwell. Come here. Yep, hang on a second. I'm going to show you. He knows. Come on. Come on. Come here. Come here. This is Maxwell. And he's too smart because this is a guy that will... I know. This is a guy that will actually climb up. And Eric's seen this. Open the door. Walk back the door, right? You do that. But we have to teach you how to shut the door. And he knows, of course, when people are sick. He knows when lady's not feeling good. He knows when Eric isn't feeling good. He's a pain in the ass, frankly, sometimes, right? You are, and you admit it, but there he is. But, okay, so, hey, do you mind? I got to get back. Look, I know. I'll tell you what. Go get a bone. Go. You know where they are. And I'll be with you in a minute. I'll be with you after the show. Come on. Go on. Go back in the office. Go back. All right. I'll take care of this. Let's roll video one, and you're going to say, what the heck does this have to do with anything? It does. Because, this is something. It's only 31 seconds, and we're going to talk about this afterwards. Watch this. Eric, you there? Hello?
I see you're in the news this week. You went to a restaurant and someone swiped your purse.
Yes.
Who was in a COVID mask, by the way?
Yes, that tells you everything. That tells you.
Did you ever get the purse back?
No, I didn't. It was kind of shocking, actually, because it was sitting right by my feet.
Yes.
I actually felt my purse. He hooked it with his foot and drug it a few steps away and dropped a coat over it and took it. But, you know, I felt it, but I thought it was my grandkids kicking me in the legs. But that it was very professionally done. And I think
that.
Play that one more time, if you don't mind. And I know you think we heard it. Just play one more time and watch, pay close attention to the body language. Go ahead.
Yeah. I see you're in the news this week. You went to a restaurant and someone swiped your purse.
Yes.
Who was in a COVID mask, by the way?
Yes,
that tells you
that's
everything.
Right. That tells you.
Did you ever get the purse back?
No, I didn't. It was kind of shocking, actually, because it was sitting right by my feet.
Yes.
I actually felt my purse. He hooked it with his foot and drug it a few steps away and dropped a coat over it and took it. But, you know, I felt it, but I thought it was my grandkids kicking me in the legs. But that it was very professionally done. And I think.
Okay. Between the gesticulations with the hand movement and the shaking affirmatively and negatively at times and showing a little bit of, was I stupid? Okay. That's what I got out of that video clip. Now you might have, look, that's what I got out of it. However, that doesn't matter. That was on this past Easter. I think it was April 21st or something like the 20th, whatever. That was Easter Sunday that this happened. Well, come to find out, the following Saturday, during the week, of course, one person was arrested, and then the following Saturday, another person was arrested in Miami using her credit card. Now, she had a Gucci bag. I'm not going to get too much into what she had, and about $3,000 in cash, and people will say, well, she shouldn't be $3,000. Who walks around with $3,000 in cash? Well, if you got it, I'd walk around with a grand or whatever. Well, it depends, you know. I'd rather use cash than being tracked by cards and whatever, but that's just me. If you have it. Do I carry it? No. No. I have to bum, you know, coffee money from Eric the Tech. But who's asking the right questions? Remember yesterday I said, if you're not getting answers, if you're not getting the right answers to your questions, change the premise. The question that everyone should be asking is, how in the hell was her bubble breached? You know, like the bubble boy from Seinfeld. How was her bubble breached and her purse stolen? That includes the cash. Okay, whatever. Credit cards. Designer purse, a nice purse. Wallet. DHS creds. And most importantly, the access card that she has as a DHS secretary of DHS, head of DHS. How is her perimeter, inner perimeter breached? And she went, yeah, that was my grandkids. And, you know, it was a foot and I felt it brush up against me, and then bang, my purse is gone. And oh boy, you know, what a hassle. Cause as you know, we have to change social security and identity and credit cards and stuff, change banks, cause you never know. Okay. Does anything about that stick out? Like anything? Is there anyone talking to you but still talking about this? The question I have is, how can the head of the Department of Homeland Security in the United States of America, under the Donald Trump administration, under today, with the Secret Service, guarding her? How's that happen? How can that happen? Just asking. Does that sound right to you? What about the video footage? Thank you, Deb. It's true. What about the video footage? Believe me, there was plenty of video footage. Eric the Tech and I, when last time we were in D.C., you were on camera everywhere. Every flippin' place you went, a camera was there. I mean, pretty much. Don't tell me that they didn't know. They knew. They could probably follow him from that restaurant to whatever destination. But the bottom line, there were two illegals that were arrested. One from Chile, at least, and maybe they were both from Chile. I don't know. But so what? Except their identity is important. Why? Was this planned in advance? I don't want to sound like some Looney Tune conspiracy nut, because I know thefts happen. You know thefts happen. But are we to believe, and this is the basis for this episode, are we to believe that this was just a wrong person, right time, medical mask, undocumented, illegal, taking the purse, leaving, and then sharing the wealth? And the news comes back and says, well, we got the guys. And they're illegals. Now, who's asking the right questions? And you, again, you stuff happens, right? This bugs the hell out of me. Other than the fact that it should have never, ever, ever, ever happened, What was the motive behind it? Now, Eric the Tech and I have been in places together, and this is a number of years ago, where we actually, in D.C., we actually had security. Okay, I don't want to say bodyguards. What do you call it? People, security. Guy with a gun in the car. Another guy with the same thing, you know, for Eric and I. It really was a pain in the backside. I remember real quick in was it Branson or Dallas? Steve Quayle had security for himself and the speakers and all this, and because there were threats. I mean, now this is this is like one of the first conferences. I don't know. And I remember standing in the off the stage, and there are 3,000 people, and God, I just love everybody. I mean, it was just that the people were so great there. And I remember somebody, the specifics I'm not sure about, a threat of a shooter or a threat of a bomb or some threat of violence or something. And I remember, and maybe one of you in the chat was there. I didn't even know Steve assigned security to me, and I was just standing. Look, I'm nobody. No one's. So I'm standing talking to somebody, and all of a sudden, the guy that was standing behind me, I thought it was weird. The guy standing behind me, you know, big firm. Him and somebody else. I'm standing there, and imagine this, okay? And I've lost probably. Since that time, I've lost 65 pounds. All right. Not because I wanted to, just because. So I'm standing there and at my chunkier self and talking with somebody. And the next thing I know, they grab me by the elbows, lift me off the ground, turn me. And before I knew it, I'm out the door. And my feet are going like this. You know, I'm like a cartoon character. It's like, what the hell are you doing? Gotta take you. We gotta, whatever it was. It's like, so? I mean, leave me alone. But I say that because if this private security, the only reason I say that, this private security company, not that they're bad, they're very good, but think about what DHS would provide, the Secret Service would provide to Christy Noem. Okay, enough, right? You drilled it. Would you shut up already about this? But there's more to this story, because we can get you anywhere, anytime. Think about that. We can also... we can make a life so miserable for you. We can actually take your access cards, duplicate them. We can take your badge and create it to specs and sell your just a number of things. We take your credit cards. We can destroy your life, basically. And that's not being talked about. The fact that this could happen did happen, and seemingly was well coordinated, because there was two people, and they, if we were to accept the original story, they managed to evade DHS Secret Service security, which is unheard of. But by the very person in charge of our security, doesn't make any sense. Cut to. Here's the second half of that. Here's the capstone of this, and cut to, this is a CBS, two suspects arrested for stealing Christy Noem's bag. We're in the country illegally. Okay, that's fine. I mean, that's not fine, but okay. So what? The wrong question. Stupid answer. Anyway, cut to, here it is. Oh, yeah. Well, actually, that's a video.
Just an article.
No, there's a video in there, my man. Yeah, right there. Oh, wait a second. Oh, you're right. All right. It'll be in the show notes. There's a video somewhere. about that. Okay. I guess, let me see. All right. Yeah, but you get the idea. So you don't need to hear. Okay. More on that. Again, what's going on today? Here is something. Yesterday, again, think about yesterday's program. And all of a sudden today, O'Keefe comes out about the Epstein's mansion video taken inside. Duh. I mean, not to discredit his efforts. Okay, God bless him. I'd never do that. But okay, there's a whole metric ton more coming out about Epstein and but again, the right questions, talking about the right things. It's not Epstein himself. It is the people involved in his orbit, the people he was controlling, and the people who were controlling him. And how far back this goes, and who are the people today, right now, in office, who would not benefit by any of this stuff coming out. We're going to be talking about that. Before I, to lay the foundation for the, and this is kind of a continuation of yesterday, but it's going to be a brief continuation. When I say brief, it's going to, it's not really about Epstein, what he was doing, his activities. It was about his involvement in the intelligence community and things that need to be shown and understood before we get to that point. So as a capstone to last night, cut six, Jesse Waters will tell you, we'll tell you his findings, and like him, don't like him, I don't care. Okay, Jesse Waters, the information he has, and the people in this clip, which is an extended clip, 4 minutes, just folks, I ask that you deal with it. Cut six, listen to what Waters says here. Now, I'm not sure of the date this was made public, but pay attention to it, to the contents of what he's about to tell you. Here it is, cut six.
4 years since billionaire pedophile Jeffrey Epstein was arrested. So why do we still know nothing about him? Well, we're finding out tonight.
This had to be in 23.
The Wall Street Journal just got its hands on Jeffrey Epstein's private calendar. And it was a lot more suspicious than Brett Kavanaugh's. Epstein was meeting with the kind of people you'd think would steer clear of a convicted pedophile. Jeffrey Epstein was meeting with one of Barack Obama's top lawyers, Catherine Rumler. She met with Epstein dozens of times. Epstein even tried to set up Obama's lawyer to work for Bill Gates. How is Jeffrey Epstein a fixer between Obama's lawyer and Bill Gates? Epstein was also meeting with Joe Biden's CIA director. He wasn't CIA director at the time. He was Barack Obama's deputy secretary of state. William Burns was working for John Kerry at the State Department and meeting with Jeffrey Epstein, a known pedophile. And then Burns becomes CIA director. Huh. Today's director of the CIA went to Epstein's Manhattan townhouse where Epstein had sex with underage girls and, you know, where he filmed other men having sex with underage girls. And William Burns went there and was then promoted to the director of the CIA. Now, I wonder if the future CIA director saw the portrait of Bill Clinton in a blue dress hanging in Epstein's parlor room. A few years later, Epstein was arrested and then hung himself in a jail cell while security cameras just happened to not be working. And the replacement guards just happened to fall asleep. And 2 years later, Biden just happens to pick William Burns to run the CIA. So what are we supposed to think? It's never been more clear. Epstein was an intelligence asset. Not only was he working for the CIA, Israeli intelligence, maybe even Russia intelligence. So was the American government allowing an asset to traffic and molest teenage girls all over the world for intelligence? Were we allowing Epstein to commit crimes against children for blackmail material? Well, we asked the CIA director, William Burns, you know, why were you meeting with a convicted pedophile at his disgusting townhouse? And the CIA director said this. The director did not know anything about him, other than that he was introduced as an expert in the financial services sector and offered general advice on transition to the private sector. They had no relationship. So Obama's State Department official couldn't have asked anybody else in the entire country for help with a job in finance. He could have called any CEO, any hedge fund manager, any banking director. But he meets with Jeffrey Epstein, a guy that doesn't even really have a real business, a guy that doesn't even have a website, a guy that, as far as we know, only had one client, the CEO of Victoria's Secret. Huh. That doesn't add up, Bernsey. And this explains the sweetheart deal back in 2006. This explains the prison cell cover-up. And this explains why all the Epstein tapes went missing. Everything Epstein recorded, everything. Missing. Every property he owned. But when he died, the Fed seized all the tapes, and the only person who's ever been arrested since then was the madam, Maxwell.
Jeffrey Epstein found me almost immediately. He knew exactly where I was, the location. And I knew then that I was being filmed. I was being watched 24/7. There were cameras all over the island.
So the CIA has all the sex tapes, and they've been blackmailing like crazy. This is the blackmail jackpot. Hours of video starring the world's most important people in Epstein Island, in the Manhattan townhouse, and the Palm Beach estate, and the New Mexico ranch. Bill Clinton was good pals with Jeffrey. Flew on the Lolita Express 26 times. Went to his private island. So when someone does something that doesn't make any sense, maybe it's because they don't want to be doing what they're doing. Maybe it's because someone's telling them what to do and threatening to release the tapes if they don't. Now, I could think of a few people whose actions I can't explain, but it wouldn't be fair of me to name.
Okay, that to me is Exhibit C in gaslighting. Now, Jesse Waters, I like the guy, but this was in 2023. If you understand that everything that these anchors say on Fox is scripted. I mean, Waters probably has three or four people who write up the monologue, the script, the assets used. Eric the Tech works like for three, four people. I don't have a script. I mean, he prepares the, I send him the stuff and he prepares it and we show it. But I don't have anyone writing up stuff for me. And I certainly don't have anyone attached to any agency writing anything up for me. Unlike others, other podcasters you might know and follow. But he said something in there about the CIA director, Mr. Burns. Let's take a look at Mr. Burns, shall we? And Barack Hussein Obama. William Joseph Burns, to be precise. You kind of have to dig into him a little bit. Look, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to bore you with that. But Burns served as the eighth director of the CIA from March 19th, 2021 to January 20th of this year, ceremoniously let go by Donald Trump. What was he doing meeting with Epstein? Now, Jesse Waters, I think, said something that really made me question Waters' intent, hence the gaslighting description. And I like Jesse Waters, okay? But sometimes people just read what's on the flipping teleprompter screen, notes handed to them, without thinking about this. Just like the Christie Nome thing. It just happened. They were good. They were good. They were professional. Okay. Thanks. if you believe either story, then send me a gold brick and I'll turn it, or something. Yeah. Send me a gold brick and I'll turn it into 5 gold bricks for you. No, that's not what happened. And you might say, well, how do you know what happened? Well, look, you don't have to be a Sherlock Holmes or Maxwell Smart, to realize that that's not what happened. Burns was part of the intelligence agencies who were directing Epstein. When he became a liability, he was killed. And you might say, well, how do you know it was Epstein who was, how do you know Epstein's not alive and living on a beach somewhere in Tel Aviv? Because obviously he was a Mossad or an Israeli asset. That's true. He was an asset for our own intelligence. Very true. Look, the reason I truly, there's a couple of reasons I truly believe that Jeffrey Epstein was murdered. And we have to dispense with this because there are many people out there who believe that he's living on an island somewhere or in Israel, or he got a face, whatever, change. And he's having the time of his flipping life, you know, with a little, with girls and concubines and whatever. I don't happen to believe that. And there are a couple of reasons why. Because when you become a liability to the very agencies that you're involved with, then that's a problem. When too much, for example, if you go back to 2000, I think it was 2008, whatever date it was in Florida, and you start making some really bad choices in your life, and you get caught by the local cops doing that, and then they throw you into the system, and you end up serving weekends at a cushy jail as opposed to, you know, 20 to 50 years at a prison, you know there's something wrong. So his first mistake was that Florida stuff. Now, again, please understand this is important to the essence of today's episode, because a lot of people think he wasn't killed. Or that he's still alive. And here's the second reason, and perhaps the most important reason. The forensic evidence. And if you say, what forensic evidence? I can't doubt you there. I can't say, well, you know, you're not wrong. The forensic, let me state that differently. The forensic evidence that the American public or the general public was allowed to see. There was a problem after his homicide, after the homicide of Jeffrey Epstein. Now, I'm going to explain this. Yes, we all know the story that the pod cell doors in the pod were left unlocked. The cameras weren't working. The guards were asleep. Doesn't that sound familiar? All of these mistakes happening. All of these incompetent things happening, just that, can you believe they happened all at that moment in time? Kind of like Butler, right? Where every mistake at Butler was consequential. So when Thomas Matthew Crooks showed up and was popping up and down on the roof, no one really, except for the Patriots, they're saying, hey, there's a problem over here. But no one else really, it was a mistake, man. Can you friggin' believe how, boy, just like Butler. And the calculable odds of Butler. And I, you know what? I will become more and more vocal about Butler because there is so much gaslighting about that on the on social media, on the internet, by self-proclaimed experts. And you may or may not be an expert, but God, I mean, praise God you're there. However, when you have, I mean, I remember, look, again, egos, okay? Egos. You cannot operate in this environment with an ego. If you do, shame on you, number one. And number two, you're not going to get very far. If you say, well, you're lying to me because that's not what I found, check your premise. Am I really lying to you? No. Moron. I mean, I'd like to say me, you moron. No. You're at the wrong place. Had you asked me, or had you not said, hey, asshole, what are you trying to do to me? And oh, then you must be a plant. No, I'm a human, but okay. My attempt at humor, but you get the idea, right? So the forensic evidence on this that we have not seen, but through the work of an independent forensic pathologist. Do you know that in 1998, it was in the 90s. I'm not going to pin it down to a year. When I took a course in homicide, the forensic, what the hell is the name of it? Forensic aspects of homicide investigations or something to that effect. The independent medical examiner that taught some of the forensics, the independent forensic pathologist who had done thousands of postmortem examinations was Michael Bodden. And look, he wouldn't know me today if I, you know, knocked him over in the street. He would not. I was just some moron sitting in a classroom, right? But I can tell you this. The guy knows what he's talking about. Again, and I'm going to throw some names out here. Quarles Harris. Nikolai Basuli. Lori Klazoudis. Seth Rich. And the pauses are intentional here. The victims at the Starbucks in Washington, D.C. Vince Foster. Ron Brown. If you take each one of these, and Jeffrey Epstein. Liabilities. But getting back to the issue, and the other thing is, just like Butler, where all of these, man, can you believe it? I can't believe it. They all the mistakes happened. All, and you know what? We're going to send a congressional task force out there, not once, but twice. And then we'll drag some social media influencers out there. While you're looking at the roof where this nice pile of brass sat, the FBI's over there disassembling an air conditioning unit. Telling you, no, you look over here. I'm talking about Butler now. Really? No, because I've been there before. A mosque in Islamic Center in Buffalo, New York, where we'll give you a tour. You come with us. Can I go where I want to go? No. You're going to go where I show you. Okay. No, thanks. I accept your terms to go on a tour, but you let me go. You can come with me. Just to be sure, I don't harm anything, but don't restrict access to certain areas. Oh, we can't have that. Almost every single social media person on the internet right now. I'm talking about well-respected people. Well-respected. People you listen to. People I listen to. People at the various Fox and... I mean, do you pick whoever? Apparently, some are not thinking for themselves. And I'm not trying to disparage anyone. I'm just calling this out. We need to look at everything through critical eyes, okay? And you might say, well, it sounds like you're disparaging people. Well, I'm calling like I see it. When you have so-called influencers that happen to have a million followers or subscribers or people that tune in, and you're of a certain demographic that pulls in younger people who are impressionable, and if you say something, they believe it because they don't have the life experience that you do listening to this show and That's a compliment to everyone listening, still listening after my rant. No? It's easy to fool some people. But let's go back to Epstein, because again, this is going to crack open this entire thing. And if you think today's headline from O'Keefe was, wow. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Again, not disparaging O'Keefe. No, no. There's a hell of a lot more. And here's the part that I think might scare him. The people involved with Epstein who are still walking around, that's what you better be afraid of. Who you better be afraid of. And the methods that they have to make sure you don't talk, which again goes back to a couple of weeks ago when I said, release it all. Now, I threw an intermediary. Hey, release it all. I did what I could. Release it all at once. Don't do this, you know, in part one and hey, sign up for, no. Release the whole shebang. If you are genuinely afraid. And by the way, you ought to be. Because the very people that you're poking around that are the very people who will kill you and go to bed or go to their kid's sixth birthday party or their grandson's seventh or high school graduation and not even think twice. Getting back to Epstein, and again, this all fits together. This was a video. I think this is a video that was I was referencing that was part of an article. Maybe I'm wrong. This is cut four. Dr. Michael Bodden, and again, the guy knows what he's talking about. And I should say this, for my bona fides, just so you know where I'm coming from, because other people have said that to the, you're going to see this today. Other people have said that. I was a first responder. I was a paramedic intern. I served a stint at a local trauma center hospital, ER. As in that capacity, I mean, I saw things. Okay, I mean things. I see dead people. No, I mean you see carnage. you see shootings and you see hangings, you see homicides and suicides, and then when you go through, I mean, as a before they even were called first, as a first responder, right? As a paramedic and EMT, and then the EMT instructor, and then working on a rescue squad and ambulance, and then teaching other EMTs, and then going into the different homicide or different disciplines in law enforcement. You see things. Dr. Bodden, believe me, has seen a lot. And no, I should add this. Some people that I know, after I mentioned this the last time, are following the Karen Reed trial. Karen Reed out of the Boston area, where she reported, allegedly, she was alleged to have killed her, or murdered her boyfriend, cop. And again, you say, so what? I mean, this happens all the time. But if you want a great insight into the state of our judicial system right now, it's not really, it's not a justice system, it's a judicial or slash legal system at the county or local level. That's a great example. This is a retrial, and the prosecution accused her of murdering her boyfriend by backing into him on a blizzardy night in January of whatever it was, 2022. So she was tried in 23, and it was a hung jury or mistrial, and now it's being retried. But what that trial, that has all the elements of showing, again, you don't have to care about the issues. But again, if you're looking for a deeper dive into the state of our judicial system, the judges, the corruption at a local level, that's, I would recommend, that's an excellent place to start. And again, by virtue of my introduction to you, and you, most of you know who I am, but my experiences, I was watching the other day, one detective was asked, detective, was this your first, because it, as a detective of a homicide or suspected homicide or even unattended death, as a lead detective, and folks, you know this, the law enforcement people and the attorneys, you attend the homicide, or that'd be easier. You attend the autopsy as a spectator. I mean, you know, juggle the intestines, or sometimes, depending on the medical examiner, you might. They might play with you and say, "Hey, come here, hold this." Been there too, once. But he was asked, this detective was on the stand, he was asked, "Is this your first homicide or first autopsy you attended?" And I'm just going to think about this. The detective says, "You know, I can't remember." And then he said, the defense attorney said, "How many autopsies have you have you ever attended any other autopsies except for this one?" And the detective says, "I can't remember." Now, let me tell you something. I might know, I might not know or remember the names or every, I could tell you this. I could answer that question. Yeah, I remember. I do remember every autopsy I attended. You have a tendency to remember that when they cut open to make the Y incision and they take the person's face off and then put it back. You got a tendency to remember that. I digressed there. My fault. But Dr. Bodden really, but the point of that was to show you the corruption on a, in my view, the corruption on a local level, from the judge to the prosecution. Again, my view only, to the witnesses. The dog that didn't bark. The missing dog. But anyway, that's if you follow it, great. If you don't want to follow it, I don't care. But it gives you a good picture, a good insight. All right. So here is Dr. Dr. Bodden. And I think this is probably one of the most important aspects. This and the next one is one of the most important aspects, which provides the template for every other. Well, you remember that list of names I read off of victims? Well, with every victim, there is a perpetrator, at least one. We'll connect those victims and perpetrators here after you watch this. But this is the template. This is how they do this. And they say, they, who are they? Hang on. I'll show you that too. But watch this. This is cut. What did I say? Cut four. The article was published in October 30th, 2019. The video is embedded. This is 2 minutes. Cut four. Here it is.
Claims about Jeffrey Epstein's death, famed forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Bodden saying evidence from his autopsy points more to homicide than suicide.
There are multiple three fractures in the hyoid bone, the thyroid cartilage, that are very unusual for suicide and more indicative of strangulation, homicidal strangulation.
Brian Yenis is live with more on what we're learning now. Brian.
Sandra, good morning. Renowned forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Bodden was hired by Jeffrey Epstein's brother Mark to observe the autopsy. And now this morning, Dr. Bodden is contradicting New York City's chief medical examiner, saying physical evidence suggests Epstein died by homicidal strangulation and not suicide. He gives three main reasons: blood and hemorrhaging in Epstein's eyes and face, the depth and location of the mark in the middle of Epstein's neck, and lastly, Epstein's three broken neck bones.
These bones are rare, usually are not found in suicide. Occasionally there's one bone, but to have three bones fractured, in 50 years of looking into prison deaths, I've never seen that.
Dr. Bodden, a Fox News contributor, has helped in several high-profile cases, including the Kennedy assassination and the O.J. Simpson trial. He was also the chief medical examiner of New York City. He is now calling for more DNA testing.
The DNA would tell whose fingers were on the ligature at the time it was created and at the time it was put around his neck, whether it's only his fingerprints or whether others.
Epstein's camp is calling on the DOJ and the FBI to release their investigative findings. They point to too many suspicious coincidences, like two guards falling asleep, Epstein being alone in his jail cell, and reportedly missing surveillance video from inside that Manhattan jail.
All right. Again, you might say, well, so what? Okay. What does this have to do with anything? If you know when you've got a serial killer, just as an example, in my professional opinion, if you have someone who's out there killing prostitutes if you have a serial killer, then you've got to look at the methods that they employ to kill. And most people like that have signatures of how they kill. You know, we've had on this show a number of people who are no longer with us. Philip Haney, for example. Phil Haney. And his death was ruled a suicide. I'll never accept that. The young man who was the creator of Gray State, who supposedly murdered his family and then killed himself, that's what they ruled. I don't buy that either, based on the information that was given to me at the time. Now we're going back a number of years. But they all leave a signature. And if you can match signatures, you can find a lot of things, a lot of similarities between everybody from the dead intern found in Joe Scarborough's office 6 months into his term, newly elected. What kind of an inconvenient thing. And Joe Scarborough, that's Lori Klozoutis. What did the medical examiner have to say? Think about the New York City medical examiner. The people that were that we need to really take a look at are the people who will rubber stamp the autopsy findings and say, well, yeah, it was a suicide. But two shots to the back, it was a suicide. Trust me on this. I'm the medical examiner. Okay. Lead detective. You better check to see if the guy's got a house, you know, in the Caribbean somewhere, or a bank account further away. Or the judge, again, going to contemporaneous examples, in the Karen retrial. Every friggin' objection by the defense is overruled. Every objection by the prosecution is sustained. It becomes pretty damn obvious that there's a problem here. So what's the relationship between that judge and the prosecution and the people involved in the homicide? The same thing with the judges today. People like people will look at, you know, Judge Boasberg. How did he get on this case again? Why did he rule that way? I'm telling you, we have a big problem. Does this make you see where I'm going with this? From the homicides, the similar signatures of the homicides, to the people in power, to the victims. The victims are liabilities to the people in power. And in order to mitigate that exposure, they have to get rid of the liabilities. Now, there's a longer clip, and this is cut H from a Tucker Carlson interview with Mark Epstein, the brother of Jeffrey Epstein. And you can watch the entire clip. You can watch the entire interview. I've got the link to the entire interview. But cut H, and we'll play it for a couple of minutes. This addresses exactly what I'm talking about, and you will understand. I think you will better understand the whole concept of there are people out there right now. There are individuals, demonic, no conscience. They will kill you without even thinking about it if you present a risk of exposure or if you become a liability to them. And then you sit back and you take a look at Pam Bondi and Cash Patel and others. And you wonder, what's going on here? That's a good question, but not the entire question. And certainly we're not seeing the entire answer yet. And there's a reason I emphasize that. Let's go to cut H. I want you to take one more look at this. This is Bodden. I think this is Bodden talking to 60 Minutes, which was part of that Tucker Carlson interview with Mark Epstein, the brother of Jeffrey. Because the first half explains everything from the brother of Epstein's part. And I should add this, you want to hire an independent forensic pathologist. Look, there was a joke that we always had when I would work for Fortune 500, 100 corporations. And there was, let's say there was an unattended death or whatever, big dollar amount because the guy was insured for, you know, $1.5 million at the time. $1 million is a lot. So they'd call in the forensic pathologist to do it, to do their own independent autopsy. The joke was you can buy any expert out there, depending on how much money you have. But there are certain people that cannot be bought. I'm telling you, So don't lose hope. I look at Baudin as being one of them. And there are others. So just keep that in the back of your mind. You can, and for example, accident reconstructionists, that's a little bit easier because you're not dealing with forensic stuff that doesn't lie. But watch this, and then we'll get to the people that we should be looking at today. Again, this lays the foundation. This is Cut H.
Dramatic new details about one of the most high-profile investigations in the country. On 60 Minutes last night, correspondent Sharon Alfonsi took us inside the jail cell where convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein was found dead in August. After a five-month investigation, 60 Minutes obtained photos of the autopsy and the jail cell. Some of them, we caution you, are quite disturbing. Sharon spoke to a forensic pathologist, Dr. Michael Baudin, who was hired by Mark Epstein to investigate his brother's death.
It appears he had some kind of sleep apnea machine. You can see a long electrical cord.
Yes, there were other wires and cords present that it would have been easy to use to hang oneself within a few minutes.
But the key reason Dr. Baudin thinks Jeffrey Epstein's death might be a homicide is because of the unusual fractures he saw in Epstein's neck.
There were fractures of the left, the right thyroid cartilage, and the left hyoid bone.
This is an autopsy photo of Epstein's broken hyoid bone, a U-shaped bone that sits under the jaw that part of the tongue attaches to. The thyroid cartilage sits at the front of the neck.
I have never seen three fractures like this in a suicidal hanging.
And Dr. Michael Baudin joins us. Good morning, Dr. Baudin. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
You observed the entire four-hour autopsy of Jeffrey Epstein.
I did.
What stood out to you the most in that?
What stood out to me the most was that the ligature mark was made after a few hours. He'd been dead for a few hours at the time he was discovered. And that there were multiple fractures of the Adam's apple, the thyroid cartilage, and the thyroid and the hyoid bone that are more indicative of a homicidal strangulation than a suicidal strangulation.
So in 1,000 cases that you've reviewed in the New York State prison system since Attica,
right,
you've never seen a three-bone fracture in a suicide.
In a suicide, that's correct.
But the New York State medical examiner, which also looked at this, they say, no, we have seen it, and we think it's a suicide.
So I've been reviewing all the records since Attica as to when a suicide occurs. We haven't, in New York State's prison, seen that kind of fractures, number one. Number two, maybe our experiences are different, but this certainly suggests that it could be a homicide.
But it's important, though, to point out, too, because 60 Minutes also, to Tony's point, also talked to other pathologists who also agree with the suicide findings. You're being paid by the Epstein family. Isn't it in your best interest to go along with what they believe happened?
They don't believe that happened. They want to know what happened. I think that the brother or the estate would just as soon have this to be a suicide because there's no advantage to them to be a homicide. Mark Epstein is now concerned about a homicide. If his brother was killed because he knew too much, is he also at jeopardy? Other people at jeopardy. So
they don't suspect that their brother was murdered?
Well, because of the autopsy findings, they feel the brother may have been murdered.
Exactly.
But as a medical examiner, when I was chief medical examiner in New York City, just because I would find a jail suicide doesn't mean that I was on the side of the city or the state. We have to call it the way we see it.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter when I'm being paid by New York City or being paid by the family.
I want to go back to the point you made.
Okay, you can cut
we
that.
We don't know the position.
Folks, let me just say this. It would serve you well to watch. Go to HagmanPI.com. If you don't have that link to that entire cut or the link to the Tucker Carlson episode, it'll be at HagmanPI.com. And here's a couple of things I want to say about this, why this is important. Again, to me, I think everyone please reconsider. If you're thinking that Epstein is living large somewhere, think again, because he's too much of a liability. And believe me, he would still be a liability today. Okay. He's the ultimate guy that knew too much. So there was this sanction, the Brennan Clinton Obama sanction against him, in my personal opinion, in my professional opinion, having looked at all of these contemporaneous clips, the documentation. I won't bore you with all of this. But, and by the way, to break a hyoid bone by hanging from a sheet? No. And the ligature marks on the body caused by a sheet? No. No, it just doesn't happen. And to think, well, Biden may not have known that wasn't Jeffrey Epstein. There's two things I would say to that. Again, having in my position, having been acquainted with Michael Biden, I don't want to overstate this because he wouldn't know who the hell I was. Like, again, if I ran him down in the street, it just took, I don't know, I spent probably, I can't remember, 2 or 3 days. During a larger course, but that was a forensic pathology in the homicide, larger homicide certification. But there are steps you take to identify who you're looking at. And there are other measures that you take to further identify the person there is, it matches the toe tag. Okay. That's well, I mean, what else can I say? How else can I say it? So I want you to rethink. If you think he's living large, you know, in Tel Aviv, think again. I also want you to think as well, over the last couple of years, speaking of his homicide, isn't it interesting that the guy who's got everything on everybody is no longer? Think now, go back to February 13th of 2016. You remember Antonin Gregory Scalia, the Supreme Court Justice. And again, why the hell are you talking about stuff that happened 10 years ago, 9 years ago? Because you got to go back to the start. When I say the start, it didn't start in 2016. Hell, it was going on forever, but you got to pick a starting point. If you're talking about how something like this can happen, go back to Scalia. Look at his death. Look at what happened. And Eric the Tech, man, I'll tell you what, he knows a lot about a lot of things. And we've talked about this. By the way, did you know that following Watergate, that Scalia testified before congressional committees, he was involved. That's why I talk about Watergate, too. That's why people write about Watergate even today. What was Watergate all about? Was it just a second-rate burglary with half a dozen CIA officers involved? No, man, it's bigger than that. But Scalia, yeah, remember the death of Antonin Gregory Scalia? Think about how he ruled on different cases. And think about what the objective was in 2016 versus how he ruled on the Supreme Court. Just one example, Scalia on abortion. Now, there's no constitutional right to infanticide. That's just one. Look, I'm not going to go through everything. But with respect to his death, and the, again, with respect to the homicides we're dealing with, go back to every single detective, responding officer, medical examiner, or coroner, there's a difference, first responder of any kind, and take a good hard look at those people involved. And I do know that one person in particular who was involved in a couple of these is watching and listening right now. And yes, 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 yes. To that person, we know. We know your involvement then, and we know your involvement now. Think about the Second Amendment cases that Scalia is going to roll in. In fact, Scalia wrote the majority to the Heller decision. Oh, man, you can't have guns. But I mean, he was pro-Second Amendment. But think about the agenda back in 2016. See, this is the stuff that today's... Look, this is not meant to be a blanket insult to anybody. But you know, certain people who have podcasts, God bless them again. I hope you succeed and do very well. But it's that inch deep and a mile wide stuff. It's easy to just pop off headlines and talk fast and to say, well, you know, like machine gun and everything. But take a second, sit back, and consider the various things that happened. And consider where you are now versus what happened over the last 10, 50, 100 years. And if you see something that matches not your preconceived bias, cognitive dissonance even, or doesn't, if that is employed, get rid of that, but... think about the impact each and every one of these incidents have had. Think about, again, Scalia, perfect example. And isn't it funny when you get into looking not just at his judicial performance, but his death, especially his death. Tell me why a coroner would phone in, really, literally, phone his job in. You don't do that. Wikipedia, you go on Wikipedia. Scalia died peacefully in his sleep at age 79 from natural causes. He had gone quail hunting the day before, the afternoon before his death. It's a good thing he didn't go with Cheney, right? John Poindexter was a guest at the lodge where Scalia died. Poindexter discovered his body, called the Presidio County Sheriff's Department, asked for the number of the U.S. Marshal Service to report a death. Poindexter was reluctant to say who had died because, you know, you find a Supreme Court justice laying dead in a bed. You just... And then you got a county judge. You ready for this? Cinderella Guevara? Cinderella. Hey, Cinderella. Yeah, you got a county judge, Cinderella Guevara, pronouncing Scalia dead of natural from natural causes. Never looked at it. She never saw the body. Nor did she order an autopsy. So Cinderella must have had these special powers to declare this. You just... you know, gave up the ghost, like a cartoon you would watch. No one has questioned that. Okay, again, you know, I'm not going to defend what I'm saying here. I'm tired of, I don't want to do that. All of these have the same elements of similar signatures that you can draw a straight line right directly to the freaking the U.S. intelligence agencies, plural, corrupt local officials, corrupt judges, corrupt district attorneys, Soros-appointed district attorneys, Soros-appointed, Soros-influenced, the money. When are we going to wake the peck up and say, you know what? None of this is right. If you believe that Antonin Scalia just... because, you know, and accept the word of Cinderella. I ain't making it up. You can look it up. Yeah. Look, I don't have time to go there. And I don't have time. And yeah, natural causes. 79. I didn't see the body. No autopsy. Don't do that. And another thing I wanted to mention about independent forensic medical examiners, I had the unfortunate circumstance to contact one in my county. A long talk with them. It's very expensive, by the way, to hire an independent forensic pathologist. Very expensive. I'm talking like $3,000-$4,000. Without the cost of the lab and all that stuff. The one thing he told me at the beginning, and I remember this like it was yesterday, he said, I will do it. I will perform the autopsy, but I will never compromise the truth. I will never, what you're going to hear from me is the truth. Well, it doesn't matter if you like it. It doesn't matter if anyone likes it. The truth is unassailable. Will you accept my findings backed by the proper documentation as the truth? And I remember him saying this. He said, you might not like it. It might not turn out the way you think it'll turn out. But will you accept it? That's the kind of guy or woman I want in my corner. I don't want to be told what I want to hear. I want to know the truth. The question for all of us is, can we accept the truth? All right. Does any of this make sense to you guys? I know, like, I'm animated all of the time. And you might say, what's this? What kind of drugs he on? I'm not. It's just... I'm passionate. I'm really passionate. I don't know. Getting old does something. It makes you, I think it removes the filter, obviously. My wife tells me that. And it makes you passionate because you see, this is not about you and me. Yeah, I mean, it is. But this is about your children and your grandchildren. This is about the world they're going to grow up in. That's why this is important. So what can we do if we really don't have the power of any administration? We can yell from the rooftops, look at this, look at that. And what about this? And demand accountability. Quickly. Does that make sense? Eric the Tech, anything? Yeah, am I okay? Are you okay? Am I okay?
You're okay. You weren't okay earlier today, but you're okay now.
You know, you should not have painted my toenails. Yeah, I'm very upset about that, but that's okay. I'm kidding, folks, but okay. just because there was no electrical cord didn't mean you had to use the pillow to try to wake me up. And I suspect that's what you were trying to do, the pillow over the face to wake me up. No. Let's go to video 5. Alex Jones did an interview with Kyle Serafin. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Kyle Serafin, his life and my life, we have a lot of similarities. He did the whole first responders, a paramedic and EMT and all that stuff early in his life. So he was used to seeing all kinds of nasty stuff. And then he, like me, I mean, the EMT instructor, and then, then he got involved. Then he was hired by the FBI. And then he became a whistleblower and was fired from the FBI. And then he contacted Dan Bongino. And look, I don't know what happened. Okay. But there was this whole kerfluffle between him and Bongino. I don't know Serafin. I really don't know Bongino. I just don't. But again, remember what I said earlier about drama? Stop with the friggin' drama. He spent probably, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes talking about the situation. And maybe it was to explain himself. I don't know. But and I remember Serafin, people were just, they were arguing on social media. Just be quiet and let's look at the facts of whatever you're exposing. And he was exposing the weaponization of the FBI, right? That's what he was doing. Against the parents and against Christians and so on. That's what he was doing. Okay, then do that and shut up. Respectfully. Same with me. Okay. So, bearing that in mind, you might have a preconceived idea that Serafin is just a whack job. Or you may say, well, I side with Serafin. Forget about it. Look at the information. So we're going to go quickly through these 54 seconds. This is the start of today with Jones. I had to cut this. Like, you're only, I think I've got like, I don't know, half a dozen of these. But trust me, this is going to be worth it. Tie everything up and the names will come forth. Let's go to cut 8 on source video 5 in the show notes. HagmanPI.com, that's where to go. And if you get lost and think, where is the show notes? Click on the title of the show. And voila, all the notes will pop up below. And do that, please. I don't send out mass emails with show notes. I just don't. I don't have the time. Eric doesn't have the time. Besides, they're right there. So this is cut 8, 54 seconds.
I have an investigation into me because I embarrassed the FBI. It's the number one sin in the FBI. It's not breaking the law.
Did Jeffrey Epstein hang himself or did somebody kill him?
Senator, I believe he hung himself in a cell in the Metropolitan Detention Center.
Are you going to release all the information about that?
Senator, we are working through that right now with the Department of Justice.
When do you think you'll have it done, Cash?
I think in the near future, sir.
Like before I die?
My concerns are is that we're going to see nothing. That's my big concern. And my concern is that the machine is working slowly on purpose because the attention span of the American people, they think they can manipulate it. And they're chasing headlines.
But I have a suspicion that if Trump learns about this, he won't be too pleased.
He needs to know. He needs to know that the FBI has not been recaptured. For all the messaging and the branding and the capturing a couple of illegal aliens and showing the ice jacket and showing the, you know, the ATF or the DOJ or the FBI, that is not a solution.
It's hard to disagree with Kyle Serafin there, like him or don't. You can't disagree with him. By the way, what do you think Butler was about? It wasn't about a political, you know, anything political, I guess. No, it was about exposure. Boy, he can't find out what we've been doing. Why do you think the shredders were working overtime? Why do you think right now, for example, Why do you think right now? The FBI, Southern District of New York area, Eastern District of New York, the FBI field office in New York. Why do you think they were hosing Bondi and Bondi was going, hey, I got it right here on my desk. Here, let me call all the influencers for that. And hand them binders. No. And the other thing with John Kennedy. Has anyone ever seen anything result from any of these friggin' hearings? Before I die, are you going to ha, ha, ha? And Cash Patel saying, the other thing, Cash Patel saying, Senator, what did he say about hanging himself in his cell? There was a slight, if you looked at it, there was a slight hesitation. Not, there was just a tweak there. And the way he phrased it made me uncomfortable. It's like he almost had to convince himself. Did you catch that? Was he carrying water for the narrative, or was he just trying to answer the question without answering the question? Eric the Tech, I don't know if you can. Can you cue that, just that one part up there? Is it possible? Don't throw anything at me. I'm going to spend the next half hour. The John Kennedy Cash Patel exchange. Because I'm going to point something out here. Can you? And you can't be mad at me because, like I said, I'm going to have to spend an hour getting the polish off my nails from you playing around today. sneaking up on me. Chad, how are we doing? We doing all right? Just hit it when you're ready.
Were you Epstein hanging himself, or did somebody kill him?
Senator, I believe he hung himself in a cell in the Metropolitan Detention Center.
Okay. Are you going to release all the...
Senator, I believe he hung himself. Notice that pause first. There was a pause. And if you watch the entirety of that hearing... Those pauses exist, at least in my observation, only on questions that, this is really kind of shitty to answer. Please understand. I don't know the intent. I don't know the intent of Cash Patel. I don't know his heart. But this bothers me. He really didn't answer the question, did he? It was almost like, I believe the report says, does Cash Patel really believe that? And if he does, that he hung himself, given the weight of the forensic evidence against that theory, then you know what? We got a problem. You can write every damn book you want, but if you don't stand behind it, you can name all the government gangsters you want, but if you don't do anything about it, Cash, or am I being too judgmental? All right, let's set the stage here. Cut B from the same video, Kyle Serafin. Again, put the drama aside. Just listen to what he said. Cut B.
I thought... Based on the same sort of thing that I see in my background as an emergency medical technician, as a guy who was a paramedic and worked on an ambulance, the Trump administration right now is a tourniquet. It's direct pressure on a bleeding wound. But it is not the solution in and of itself yet. That's not currently what's going on. So we've got the possibility of solutions coming downrange, but the first thing they had to do was stop the bleeding. So the Trump administration ran on a border. And they've done very well, I think, at stifling and putting that clamp down on the border. They have they ran on some economic problems, price of gas, price of eggs, et cetera, et cetera. They've done a decent job, I think, of trying to clamp down on some of that. But there's some really long-term issues. And the one thing that kind of stuck with me, the image of that tourniquet, that cranking down and stopping the bleed before you can go and solve it. I worked in an emergency room for a couple of years. The first probably... most awful experience I had sitting in a trauma bay happened in say it was in Tucson. It was in Tucson, probably in 2011 or 2012. And I'm sitting in there and they brought in a guy who almost had his leg cut off in a car accident or something like that. They brought him in on a helicopter. The guy's just pissing blood all across the hallway. He comes in. Nobody had a tourniquet. The guy died on the table. They were pumping blood into him and it just kept running out the bottom of his leg, which had an open hole in it. And in the same way, if you don't stop the bleed first and then go and surgically fix it, all you're going to do is you're going to be dropping all the solution in, and the solution has nowhere to go. It doesn't stay in the body. It doesn't fix. So I think that's what I keep seeing with the Trump administration. Two things have to happen at once. You have to stop. You have to clamp down. You have to tourniquet off all of the issues we had with the Chinese. And there's some stories that I'd like to hit you with you because I worked in Chinese counterintelligence. They are the single biggest geopolitical threat, as far as I can tell. And they have been ignored by, quote unquote, them. We should probably talk about who them and they is, because we say things like that. And we use terms like globalists. But who are those people? What do they look like? Where do they work? They work in our government. They work in our media. They work in our private sector. How do all those things come together? So I brought you a clip of a guy who I think actually has a really good grasp on that. But if you don't stop the bleeding first and then do the surgical intervention, and if people don't realize it's going to be really uncomfortable, I mean, if you've ever had a tourniquet on, even in a training environment, you realize that it is incredibly painful. So clamping down on things like tariffs, it's going to hurt. It has to have short-term pain for the long-term goal of you get to continue to live. And my basic look in is that there are some solutions that have been pretty decent. There are some things where we've got a lot of work to do. We've got a ton of work to do in the intelligence community. I had somebody that I can't name by source, but said inside the IC, there's as many as 80% of the people working inside the intelligence community are working against the Trump motivations of transparency and de-weaponization. So guys like Ed Martin, who just left the D.C. attorney's office and is now going over to DOJ, they've got their work cut out for them. And this is not like a win that it's going to be really easy. I think Americans, particularly on the right, we want to think that if we won an election, it's the same thing as winning the game. But it's more like winning the coin toss before the game. It just means you get to choose to receive the ball. So that's kind of my broader take on it, that there's a lot of game left in this right now. And I don't think we've necessarily put the people on the field that shows we're even going to win yet.
And you know, if I could play that on a loop, I wouldn't, because that's all fact. 100% fact. We haven't even begun to fight. We have the players, some of them, but yet on our team, we've got people who are openly, actively working against us. Well, who are they? Who's working against us? Okay, that's coming. But the reason I played that for the broader picture is he did set the stage for really what's coming. So quickly, I'll tell you what, we're going to go right to cut G. Folks, you can watch the entire interview. It's filled with, there's, if you want. Okay. But the cuts that I isolated here, I think are key. So in the interest of time, let's go directly to what he was referring to in that broad overview. And this is Mike Benz. And you know what? I had seen this clip by Mike Benz. I could not find it. The entire presentation that he did, I had seen this and it escaped me, but now it's so important because he lays out, and by the way, these are dated. I mean, this is during the Biden regime. So you just keep that in mind. So when you hear him say, you know, how bad things are or the infiltration, it's still there, just not to the extent that he was talking. I think that's the one that I looked at so many, but just we'll play cut G on this. Go ahead.
They, that we always talk, what did they do? They equals government, it equals NGOs, it equals media, and it equals private sector and certain people getting co-aligned interests. This is what an administrative state would look like. He breaks down in about 90 seconds something that everybody needs to understand, so that when you're out there saying they to your friends and trying to wake them up a little bit, Mike Benz puts it out there. It's the reason why government is only one piece of it. Of course, the one I used to work for is part of it. All of these little groups. So you guys can play this clip. It's self-explanatory. We'll have it freeze frame at the end at about 90 seconds with the graph, with the four pieces, so we can kind of talk.
Absolutely. Let's play that clip. Here it is.
Everyone should sort of brand like a cow iron into their brain somewhere, which is this concept of the whole society censorship framework. Now, they will call it the whole society counter misinformation or counter disinformation framework, but it's censorship. They're not countering it through speech. They're countering it through remove, reduce, inform, all censorship techniques. Now, the whole society framework is getting four different categories of institutions to all work in concert with each other as if they are one, the nucleus of a single cell. And that is government institutions, private sector institutions, civil society institutions, and news media and fact checkers. This is not my framework. This is theirs. I can play you a 20-minute supercut of them invoking this like a mantra. It looks like a weird scene out of Eyes Wide Shut when you hear them all get in their incantation, whole of society, whole of society. But just to flesh out, for example, what this means in a U.S. context, and I guarantee you in every country of your concern, you will see this exact same phenomenon with this exact same constellation. Just substitute the names for the government agencies, for example. So on the U.S. Side, in the government, as I mentioned, you have DHS, FBI, DOD, Department of State, National Science Foundation, which is basically just the civilian arm of the Pentagon. You have specific agencies that are now given, as part of their democracy mandate, censorship of their particular field of expertise. For example, you'll have misinformation grants being given out by the Department of Energy, or you will have COVID censorship grants being given out by our Health and Human Services Department. You now have White House coordination of this with the Biden administration. That was something that was not there during the Trump era, but that is now something that we're dealing with. On the private sector side,
pause it there.
These are the tech.
Stop there. Or go ahead.
Yeah, so you guys can see on the graph there what we're talking about, but none of these one animals are the reason why I feel like we can talk about. Not the Trump administration per se, but we can talk about our government agencies. It's because they're supposed to serve us. And what a deep state is, which Mike is talking about, he calls it the blob. I think it's a good analogy. These people are embedded. There are people that are in the social media. They are in the actual media. They are in the private sector. They are the ones that are serving that Google search warrant, and they didn't push back, and they didn't say, hey, maybe we should go and file a lawsuit like Elon Musk did. All these people work together with co-aligned interests. So if you come in and take over, and you're HHS, you're RFK, you're Cash Patel, you're Dan Bongino, you're Pam Bondi, if you do any of those things, you step into those spaces, and you have a team that's working against you and has been working against you since the beginning, you're not fighting against the Trump administration when you tell them, hey, you guys got a really clean house in there. You got to get your people on board.
Well, that's the thing.
I think it would do all of us well to look at that chart again, make a copy of that chart, because with the except, I mean, that's internal domestic, focused on internal domestic concerns. But with that, you also have the foreign influence. Now, that was referenced earlier in the conversation, the Chinese. But then you've got other foreign influences. I would also urge you to understand this. I mentioned earlier about the film Innocence of Muslims. Remember that? Remember Benghazi? And again, people say, man, that was so many years ago, and no one really is going to, no one's done anything. No one can do anything. You realize that we lost. There were people who lost their lives. Brave men who lost their lives at that CIA gun running complex in Benghazi. It was not a consulate. It was not an embassy. That's under Obama. That's under Clinton as the Secretary of State. Stevens was murdered, and he just wasn't just murdered. He was savagely killed, but he was set up. That was allowed to happen. That whole thing was allowed to take place. As a matter of fact, that was facilitated by Hillary Clinton. In my professional estimation, I have to say that because, again, I can't afford yet another lawsuit. Expensive to defend. Look at that chart. The enemy is within, the people who kill other people. the liabilities are contracted from, well, I would say everyone except the news media, at least the first three squares. The government contracts the hits to the private sector. And they take from a pool of known assassins that they have cultivated through plan, through programs like MKUltra. That's part of it. But it's not all of it. It's part of it. Because believe it or not, there's some people that just like to kill other people. And they're good at it. You know, there's no perfect murder, right? Really, there's not. But when you destroy evidence, when you cover up the crime, it sure makes it a hell of a lot easier. From Benghazi, which was Hillary Clinton's Iger sanction against Stevens to cover up the crime of gun running and terrorist training, to the inconvenience of, I don't want to be embarrassed by something. I really don't. And you know, my gosh, there's a dead intern in my office. And you know, I say that with respect to the family of the deceased, all of this. Two, the innocence of Muslims, the Brennan passport scandal. Remember that? What was that all about? Well, that was before Obama became president and his passport, the passport office break-in. How do you think we got here? People like John Brennan. People like John Brennan and John Brennan, who keeps popping up at every single from the passport office break-in to, yes, even Benghazi, National Security Advisor for Obama, then CIA Director, voted for a communist in 1980, reportedly became a Muslim during his stint as a CIA station chief in Saudi Arabia. Now he's this blabbermouth on MSNBC that media you saw, telling you everything's all right. And what you're seeing is all just this illusion. And the influencers grabbing that plot, the inch deep and a mile wide plot that you listen to and you think, okay, you know what? We're winning this war. Look at the border. Yeah. And border's secure. But you know what? Obama, on a daily basis, tossed out more illegals than President Trump. And I'm not dissing on Trump. I'm dissing on the fact that we are not within the killers within. And oh, by the way, the killers like the murderers, Quarles Harris, who was going to turn state's evidence against Obama and Brennan, just happened to be shot in front of his church. Look, I'm not sticking up for Quarles Harris. He owns what he did. But the very same killers, the very same murderers, the psychopaths,